Shiva Puri Baba, these two ladies wanted to ask some questions so that perhaps their doubts and difficulties could be helped.
Yes.
We are sisters. This is my younger sister. I am the elder.
Yes.
We both feel we want to understand more about our duty towards life, what we are here for, and how we are to understand it in our present state. I can look back on a long life. I'm not a young woman, as you see. I've had many, many things happen to me. I have always questioned and wanted to understand the great mysteries of why I was here. And I have received much help from many teachers, Mr. Gurdjieff, Mr. Uspensky, and now Subodh Bapak. But always I feel that my questions are not really answered. I do not really understand either my duty or my what I should look forward to or what I should be doing.
Now, so to say, there is smell in this flower. Can I explain that smell?
Please.
I cannot explain. However I explain, you cannot know the smell. If I give this in your hand, if you smell it, you know what the smell of this is. Is it not so?
Yes.
In the same way, I can never answer your questions. Your questions will be answered only by God. See Him first. Every mystery is solved. Before that, whatever answer I can give you, it will not solve your problem. The first thing is reach God. By seeing God, everything is known.
How can we do that?
Think of God alone. Dismiss every other thought from your mind. You will see God.
That is very difficult for
us. It is difficult but not impossible. It is not impossible. It is difficult, I do know. But if you take so much a difficult trouble in removing that difficulty, all the difficulties in life will go. In an operation, we feel little bit more strained feeling. But as soon as the operation is over, all the pains are gone. Unless we see God, we cannot know anything. Before the sun comes, we can see nothing on the ground. When the sun comes, we see everything. So the presence of God. When we know God, we know everything. Before that, a simple explanation is no explanation. I can say this is sweet smelling. But how many flowers are there which have got sweet smelling? What is the nature of this smell? Unless you smell it, you cannot know. One can experience, but it can never be explained. Let the thought of God be alone in your mind. Destroy every other thought. You will see God before you, and all your problems are solved. This is the first business. Now, unless you live a disciplined life, this meditation is not possible. There is this body. You should know the requirements of this body. You will have to hear, you will have to sleep, you will have to see, you will have to taste, you will have to spit, you will have to breathe. 1,000 activities are there in this body. All these activities are to be controlled and commanded. How much meals, how much sleep, what to see, what to hear, all these should be controlled and commanded. This is one duty. Another duty is our obligation towards the home, society, nation, etc. Find out the number of duties there we have to do. A third duty is, without material wealth we cannot do these things. For that a professional duty. These are the duties one has got to do. these duties should be found out and planned properly, without any failure, without any commission and omission. These duties are to be performed. Then life becomes steady. In this steady life, meditation is very easy. How your body is covered by this cloth. If that cloth is removed, you see, I can see your body. In the same way, we are covered by consciousness. God is beyond consciousness. Forget this consciousness a moment, you will see God in a flash. First, what you have got to do is discipline this life. Then meditate on God. When you see God, every problem is solved. How to see God, I can tell you. How to solve your problem, that I cannot say.
Can you tell us a little more how to see God? This has been a great difficulty because...
This duty, you understand now? Duty of the body?
Yes, I think I see that.
Yes, these duties you will have to plan. This is one. This is what we call physical discipline. Yes, second duty is there is mind. Mind is wild. Various passions, various thoughts are playing in the mind. Now, these passions, these thoughts are all to be removed from the mind. One should not yield to liking and disliking. One should have no other desire except seeing God. One should destroy the lower nature. One should cultivate the higher nature. This is moral discipline. Then mind becomes very strong. In that strong mind, when you finish these duties, you can meditate on God. Either your mind should remain with these duties, or it should remain with God. It should have no other place. This is the way of life today.
What are the characteristics of the higher nature that one should turn to?
What is this life?
What qualities for the higher nature?
That the other day,
yes,
it is written to you,
yes,
you will have to explain them.
Huh? Yes.
Many natures. Fearlessness is one nature.
Fearless.
Yes, fear is a lower nature. Fearlessness is another nature, is the higher nature. Crookedness is a lower nature. Straightforwardness is the higher nature. Like this, there are some 32 natures. It is written to you.
Yes.
You will have to explain those things to them. Yes. Those natures are to be incorporated in one.
In one's mind?
Yes. Then mind becomes strong. One should have no liking. One should have no disliking. One should... reason must prevail. Suppose you like me, you will give me anything. Suppose you hate me, you will give me nothing. This is under the influence of liking and disliking. Under the influence of reason, what you will do, you will see whether I deserve or not. Suppose I am your enemy, still if I deserve, you will give me. Suppose I am your friend, if I do not deserve, you won't give me. This is the direction of reason. This reason must always prevail. This liking and disliking must perish.
Very difficult.
Difficult, but practice a decay. I can give you a decay's time, 10 to 12 years. One can become perfect in this.
And fear too.
Very important.
Very important for me.
Yes.
Very important for you particularly.
You know, many of these things you will have to explain very clearly these things to them.
Is there something more?
I was going to ask you, please, about Sumbud, because we are rather disturbed amongst the people in Subud that it has not at present made for more unity amongst us. And why is this? Is this just a phase that we go through? Or is it something we can expect, perhaps?
I could not understand well.
No.
You know that we are practicing this method of meditation, which is called Subud, which is Latihan, which is simply emptying one's mind and turning only towards God. So it is good practice. But at the same time, we find that people who practice this, instead of developing the charities in the way that we would expect them to do, by this they don't develop the charities, and people begin to be quarreling with each other or not understanding each other. And the question is it a different discipline to develop the charities from this practice of meditation? Is it necessary intentionally to practice the charities?
Yes.
They don't come by themselves.
Unless it is owing to this no practice of moral discipline, these things happen.
Yes, you see what he said.
Yes.
Because you try to do meditation without moral discipline.
That is it. Practice moral discipline, then it is very easy, these charities, etc.
Yes. But meditation is not...
Before you study chemistry, you cannot study medicine.
No.
Before you study mathematics, you cannot study engineering. So before you practice this moral discipline, it is not possible to have this
true meditation.
Yes. Now I sit here. If this seat will go on vibrating, I cannot sit properly.
Yes.
It should be steady.
Yes.
Meditation is through mind. If mind is shaking, one cannot meditate properly. In a pool of water, you look, your face is seen there. But throw a stone or something, when there are waves, your image is not found there. So, when there is disliking, anger, various other natures in the mind, meditation is not possible.
But yet, we are told that by the practice of the meditation, by the practice of the Latihan, the mind will become steady automatically, because then it submits itself to the power of God, and the power of God will make the mind steady.
That is a fancy, see? Uh-huh. Yes. To a certain extent, of course, mind will become, but not practically. Uh-huh. Yes.
So in practice, the discipline is always necessary.
Necessary.
Yes.
When there is no cause, you will be quiet.
Yes.
When some causes come, that quietness will break, you will come forward with your original nature.
This is exactly what happens.
When there will be no wind, the leaves will be steady. When there is a little bit of wind, they will begin to shake. So it is when anything will go against you or will come in favor of you, this quietness will break.
Yeah. Unless you have discipline.
Yes. Unless those virtues are well practiced, this meditation will not give fruit.
So that the mind must be made strong by our own intentional efforts.
Yes.
And then with that strong mind, then we can meditate, and in that, then it is not our effort anymore. This comes from God afterwards.
Yes. Before, along with making the mind strong, body also should be made strong.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If we eat more or less, health is gone. Mm-hmm. If we sleep more or less, health is gone. Mm-hmm. If we hear, see unwanted things, everywhere there is trouble.
Yes.
Various pictures will come into the mind.
Yes.
Remove every other subject. Mm-hmm. Such practices are essential in the beginning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or simultaneously practice these three disciplines.
You knew about the four charities, did you? Did you hear what
this
is here?
Yes.
I told them when I came back about these. These also should be
practiced. They will help very much.
Yes.
Along with the pray also. Pray also will help.
Mm-hmm.
Praying.
Yes. According to our religion, do you mean?
Yes, yes. These charities are most important, these four kinds of charities.
And they make the mind good and strong.
Yes.
And virtuous.
They are the allies of the mind,
mm-hmm.
to make the mind strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
At this point, a family party came to say goodbye to the Shivapuri Baba. There were four Indians from Delhi. I think it was a grandfather, a father and mother, and a young boy. They all came in and stood, spoken a few words, the Shivapuri Baba. They went away, and after that I began to read to him the questions that had been asked by the group in London. We can hear during this conversation with the Shivapuri Baba some of the noises of the wood, mostly the sounds of birds. Once or twice I heard the distant chattering of the monkeys, and then you probably also heard an aeroplane going overhead, taking off from the airport, which is very close to the wood where he lives now. The first question was from an old gentleman, Mr. Kaminsky, who said, what value has art compared with charity? Because through beautiful things, through music and paintings, we feel ourselves drawn towards God. Is art therefore something valuable for man, or is it, what position has it got?
One is never drawn to God by art and music. One is drawn to beauty only. Yes. One is never drawn to God.
And doesn't it lift up the soul, the art?
No. It will give you excellent beauty of God's.
But beauty comes from God also.
But now you see it from a distance.
Yes.
This is beautiful. Can you have the smell?
No.
In the same way, the beauty of God you can know, but God you cannot know by art and music.
But doesn't the beauty draw you to God?
But what use is still a great distance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Then you think that from the point of view of coming to knowledge of God, the art is no longer valuable for me.
Not only valuable, harmful also.
Mm-hmm.
Harmful. Yes. Mind will not empty all its contents. Yes. The more beautiful, far away from God. Yes. Ugliness and beauty both must vanish from the mind.
But is there not some art that seems much higher than others? Sometimes I have seen things like the Sphinx, or even the Taj Mahal, or the Elephanta Caves with the Great Trimurti, and that seems to appeal to another side of
but
mind.
At that time, you see, you forget God, that a beauty only prevails in you.
Yes, I see.
Yes. The essential things are forgotten.
Very interesting, yes.
Individuality is forgotten. God is forgotten. That a beauty only prevails in you at that time.
Yes.
What is the advantage here? Every troubles of the world is gone. One is very happy here. That's all. Unhappiness of this world is not felt.
But sometimes with art one feels, because when it represents the unhappiness of the world, for example in some religious subject, this reminds one also of the sufferings of the world.
No, only beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Actually analyze and see, only beauty prevails in the mind.
That is important. The next question was from Miss Woodward. She said that her difficulty was to understand what is the right balance between concern for her own personal salvation, to come to for herself to the knowledge of God, and concern with the sufferings of the world and the difficulty and our duty of service in the world towards the general needs and feeling of compassion for mankind. What is the right balance between these?
Let these things wait. First go to God. When one sees God, then one can take to these things. First enter the kingdom of God. Everything can be added towards that. For the present, one cannot help oneself. What help one can give to another?
Yes, yes, very true.
Yes. That is it.
Yes.
Suppose you want to do some help, still here there is, in these duties, there is a chance. Yes. Because one's obligatory duty towards home and society, etc., little bit one can give. According to one's capacity.
And one should stay within the limits of that.
Yes, that's all. If you want to do good for the whole humanity, be it, till the knowledge and power comes.
There's one other lady, Mrs. Furness, whose husband died a little time ago, and they were very much united, and their love for each other was stronger, I think they say, than anything else. Now that her husband has died, her mind is always unhappy, and she can't meditate and can't find peace. So she says, can one know in any way what happens after death so that one mind can have peace to meditate?
That also, before seeing God, it is not possible. Yes.
But if one hasn't got peace of mind, one can't meditate.
But peace of mind is not there because the virtues are not there. Mm-hmm. Yes. When the virtues will come, there will be peace of mind.
Therefore, it is by moral discipline that one comes
yes.
to peace of mind. From peace of mind, one comes to knowledge of God.
Yes.
And then these questions are answered.
Yes.
Yes, I understand. The next was from one young man who said this, that he'd heard about your duties, the three duties, and he quite saw that this is right and proper for man, but that, for example, you speak about the moral discipline to be free from like and dislike. But he says, I cannot. If I try to be free towards somebody that I dislike, I am not free. Is there any way by which I can be shown how to get this freedom from like and dislike?
Like and dislike is the defect of man. Unless it is removed, one cannot go to God. This understanding must come. Yes.
It means through understanding, one realizes that this is an obstacle and one will never find one's goal.
Yes.
And then from that understanding, little by little, the like and dislike will disappear.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The next question was from Mrs. Cairns Williamson, who said the meditation, because we must come before we see God, therefore we need faith for it. How can we have this faith? From
where
does faith come?
Because I am existing, you are existing, the world is existing. Where from all these things came? From this very existence one should have faith. Mm-hmm. Yes. No other way. There is this existence, what is this?
That is very helpful.
Yes. There should be something behind this.
If we have the question, there must be an answer, you mean?
That is so.
Yes.
Yes.
So if we are able to ask the question, why do I exist, there must be some reason why I exist.
Yes.
And for that, because I believe there is a reason, I have faith.
Yes.
Yes, I understand.
There is this thing we see. We must have faith that there is a rose flower in the world.
Yes.
We see. Mm-hmm. Now, to prove your existence, what a proof can be given? Because I see you, that itself is the proof.
Yes.
No other proof is possible.
No.
This very existence,
yes.
What is this? Mm-hmm. There is a creator of all these things. Or there is a truth behind this existence. One should believe it. Yes.
The next question was from a lady, Mrs. Davies, who is very good for charity, and she does very much to help people, and she prays very much, and she says that sometimes she prays for people who are in some trouble, or perhaps with her own trouble. Sometimes help comes, sometimes help doesn't come. If one sincerely asks for help, perhaps for some other person without any egoistic reason, and it doesn't come, is this because one didn't have enough faith, or that one asked from the wrong place in oneself, or perhaps did help come and we just were blind and couldn't see it?
You see, because it is from wrong places, wrong, either wrong persons or wrong events. Mm-hmm. One of these will be the reason, yes.
In the wrong situation, you mean?
In the wrong situation. Mm-hmm. Either the persons may be wrong, individuals, yes. Or the event may be strong, may be wrong. Yes.
Then Mrs. Arnold Thompson asked, how is it that man is so dominated now by his thinking, and so that his mind becomes weak from too much mental activity? How has man come into this situation, especially the Western man?
Because by his own habit, by his own habit, suppose your habit is to eat more, disease automatically comes. Mm-hmm. Now remove that habit of eating more, that will go. You are, yes, one is more engaged in life. Extra love is given for life. Extra prominence is given to life. And that is why it happens. Give proper.
And then there won't be such exaggeration of thinking.
Yes. More liking. Proportion is more.
Because then this leads to the next question of Mr. Stubbings. He spoke about the disciplines that you recommended, and he says that you know what are the conditions of Western life now. There are so many pressures of life and activity, and everyone is busy all the time. Is there any way that you would recommend for Western people in their conditions of life by which they can specially follow a discipline that will lead them?
Conditions of life everywhere the same for all. One should take to this discipline. That discipline itself will give a chance.
But in a village you have more peace than in a city.
But there also there is pressure. There is pressure there also, even in the village.
In the forest then?
You see, mind is always filled up with various thoughts and other things. Mm-hmm. Oh, empty the mind. Even in the busiest life, one is free. Mm-hmm. Yes, mind is crowded.
But does this mean that for everyone the disciplines are the same? For example, in a family there may be two brothers in the same family and with the same education, and yet their spiritual natures can be very different.
Yes.
And if those two brothers should perhaps not follow exactly the same way. One is right for one brother, another is right for another brother.
Yes. That is the nature of the world.
And so you have to come to know your own nature. Is that what it is?
Yes, yes. One's own nature one must know and improve that very nature.
And that belongs to the duties, does it?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh.
Because you said to us that these habits are formed, because Mrs. King asked this question, that if when you are in childhood you don't develop moral disciplines, afterwards it will be very difficult to come to meditation, and therefore the parents have that responsibility. And you said also, you remember, to my wife about it, to teach discrimination to the children. If this hasn't been taught, does this mean there is afterwards no hope for these for people?
But still it is possible. When you know it today, try to practice from today. It is possible. Yes.
So it is not, one can't say it's too late. If one has desire to come to God, it is not too late.
Not too late. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then there are two other questions here, from young men, both, one called Tony Hodgson, the other Tony Blake. They say the young people of the world are very much distressed about the future. They don't know what will be the future. For what have they got to prepare? Will the world be the same as it is now? Have we got to prepare for a world that will go on having more and more machinery, or will there come big changes in the world? Is there any way in which we should be preparing ourselves for the future, for the young people, they say?
Prepare for today. Mm-hmm. That's all. Prepare for today.
But is it the same preparation for whatever may be the future?
But according to when the future comes, according to that we can adjust. We can adjust. The world will never be the same for today and tomorrow. Totally different. There is no steady world. Every minute there is a change. Today your body is like that. Prepare a cot for that like this. When your body, the proportion of the body changes tomorrow, you can see.
But you told us that there will be some great disaster that will come to the world, and that this, because man has turned so much away from the way of God, that there will be perhaps punishment or lesson or something will happen to the world.
It is so. A big revolution is to come now. 2/3 of the population will be destroyed from the world. Within a period of 2 years now it will take place. A big destruction is to come now. This civilization is pent up. It cannot now give happiness to people. It will be removed.
How can we prepare for this? Or can we only prepare, as you say, by the day? I understand that very well, because this is what our other teachers have told us. And but it is worrying to think.
But it is beyond our capacity.
Beyond our capacity.
Yes. If we can enter into these three disciplines, that will help us. Yes. No more help we can get.
Will destruction come through the atomic bomb or through some natural disaster?
Is it war, one thing. A second thing, disease. A third thing, famine. A fourth thing, natural troubles. Just like storm and earthquake and other things. These three, four disasters will spoil the present population. At least 2/3 will vanish. 1/3 only will remain. Always it happens at the end of every 1,000 years, at the end of every 100 years, we find some kind of destruction in the world. One should never fear these things, because it happens.
Yes. From a scientific point of view, it is now very likely that there will be again another ice age quite soon in the world, that we shall have the north part of the world all frozen like it used to be, because it already begins and we're beginning to have natural disasters. And from a scientist's study, it seems likely, and I have studied this myself, that we shall soon begin to have these great changes in the Earth's climate, so people will not be able to live in where they have. And the oceans will rise and many cities will be flooded, like London and Calcutta and so on. These things, they say, will happen, according to scientific theories, in about 40 years at the most, but maybe even quicker.
You see, you know, Greenland, Iceland,
yes.
Siberia,
yes.
Northern America, etc.,
yes.
All frozen now. Yes. Previously, there was a good deal of population living in those places.
Yes.
By some reason, that all became uninhabitable.
Yes.
People migrated.
Yes.
Even in the place where they are living, such troubles will come.
Yes.
And the places where we cannot stay will open up.
There was a man called B.G. Tillich, you know, who
yes.
who wrote about this.
Yes, yes, yes.
He was long before.
Yes. He has studied a little bit astronomy from me.
Really?
Yes, I know him.
Oh, yes. Yes.
How wonderful.
He's a mathematician also. Mathematician also.
Yes, he's one of the wisest men of India.
Yes.
Yes.
When he was young, a few days we had to stay together. I stayed with him.
Ah.
And some principles in astronomy he has studied from me.
Ah.
Yes.
But my late wife's father knew him. He was in Baroda.
Oh.
Yes. Mm. He said he was one of the best men. In
yes.
fact, he thought he was the best man he ever saw.
Yes, yes. Yes. He's a very independent man.
Yes.
A very strong brain man.
Mm.
Yes.